Well, thank you and good evening. It is good to be back. It's good to see you all and see a lot of new faces. We get on the Roku and we watch services quite a bit, and we're like, well, who's that? And who's that? And that person's changed. And no. But we were watching one Sunday afternoon. We were watching Sunday morning services, and pastor was preaching, and he was getting after it, you know. And Titus goes up, he points to it, he goes, "That guy, he's the guy." And I just it melted my heart. I mean, even though we're almost 7,000 miles south, you know, the love that we have for you all and that you all have for us, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to connect that way, to see the services. The work's going well. The Lord's really blessed. We got through last year. Last year was just riddled with restrictions and everything. We were down to where we can only have 5 people in the building at a time there for a little while. And that was per service. So some Sundays we'd have 7 services. And that kept me busy, you know. And so that was a difficult time. All the neighbors, they didn't like us having services because you have to get special permission and all this other stuff. And none of the other churches were doing that. Almost all the other churches in Temuco, in our city of 400,000 people, closed down. Some of them still haven't opened back up, which is a good thing, but it's still sad to see the state of affairs there. People are more cold to the gospel, but the Lord's blessed. We've been able to see some, win some folks to the Lord here recently and some last year. I remember telling you about Rolando and Orlando last time that I was here. Well, some of Rolando's children are doing the Bible study. Our Bible study's online. And Orlando's children, one of them started coming, and he got saved. His wife got saved. Her brother got saved. And that was from, we put a little tarjeta or a little card inside the tracts that we give out. It says, "Do you want to study the Bible? It's free." Because everything down there costs money. And he found that in the gutter in the rain. It was all dirty and everything. And through that track, we've seen him, his brother, and 3 or 4 other folks get saved because of that. So hand out tracts. I'm being serious. It's important to be part of the regular visitation here. It is so important to do that as a church, to go out on visitation with your church. But as individuals, we're Christians also, and we should hand out tracts. We should try to win people to the Lord, get people to where they'll study the Bible. The biggest struggle we have right now is just our building. We're still renting, but we just need to get into something bigger. And I know the Lord is going to work that out here one of these days. We're looking at several different avenues of trying to do some different things, but the Lord, he'll fix it. I'll just put it like that. I know he will. He always does. He's taken care of us thus far. He'll take care of us in this need also. Nathan is doing better after, you know, he's still limping from being hit by the truck and everything, but on his bicycle. We just had to go to court on that. Jennifer ended up having to go to the last court date by herself, and she was fixing to kill me. But the Lord worked it out. That guy ended up agreeing to pay for half of the medical cost that Nathan incurred through the hospital and everything. Everybody's doing healthy. It's great to see our grandkids. It's amazing to see how the Lord's blessed. We moved here in 2006. Domilseis, 2006, and just to see how the Lord, you know, the Lord saved all my family here, and called me to preach, called me into the ministry, and we thank the Lord for our church and for you all. You all are our church, right? And so we want to thank the Lord for you all. Judges chapter number 6. We're going to read the first 14 verses here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of the oppressed that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, and to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to read your word and to preach your word and to hear it, Father. I pray that you'd just help us tonight. Just meet with us tonight, Father. If you don't meet with us and do a work in our hearts tonight, everything we do here is for naught. It's not worth anything. But, Father, please just come and help us and meet with us and help my tongue to say the right things and just help hearts to receive it, Father, please. All in your will, of course. And we ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Asiento. This is the third time I've preached in English over the last year and a half, so just, if you hear something strange, just think of what I mean. You know the book of Judges. We know the book of Judges is it's a book in the Bible, of course, but it's a book that, you know, over the span of the book of Judges, it's a little more than 400 years, and we see the nation of Israel here. God's proving them, God's showing them the things that they need, but they keep falling into sin, and they keep just getting back into their sin, getting back into just being affected by the people that are in the land that they live in. And really, if you go to chapter number 2, if we look here in verse number 8, it says, And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 100 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in the Timnath-Serah, in the mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation that gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. This is going to be a constant theme in the book of Judges, that they're always going to serve. They're going to want to serve Baal. They're going to want to serve Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And it, like I said, it's going to be a constant theme in the book of Judges that they're going to serve Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, this is the book of Judges, in which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, bowed themselves unto them, and turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge, for it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned, corrupted themselves more after their fathers, and following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. And they ceased from, not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. In another verse, and later on, it says that there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But they had a king. They had a king, and he was God. He was Jehovah, you know, our Lord. And so, but they didn't, you know, this kind of sums up the whole book of Judges. And, you know, we're here they were not very motivated to serve the Lord. And that's just amazing because of everything that God had did for their families to get them. They didn't know the hardships of being in slavery in Egypt. They didn't know the hardships of the wilderness journeys and all this, the other things. But what they knew was the land, and they refused to forsake the gods of the land to serve the one true God. And they kept having a constant struggle with this. And, you know, in our church down there, we just finished a study in the life of Gideon. And the reason that we were studying in the life of Gideon, because he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34. And I, you know, it's amazing. Let's just go ahead and read it. We have time, I think. you're going to have to at least let me talk long enough to where I'm not nervous, and then I'll get to going here. So in Hebrews 11, verse number 32, And we see here, and what shall I say more? For the time should fail me of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel in Spanish, sorry, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And so we started doing a study of the men that were in 32. We studied through the life of Samson. Samson is in Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. He didn't have a great testimony, but he's in Hebrews 11 by the grace of God. That's God's mercy and God's grace. And Gideon also, you know, Gideon, the last thing that's written about him, he didn't end so well. But he's written here. And there's something that we can learn. We can learn from the lives of these men here that God used. And so we see, you know, for our theme for Samson was, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched violence as fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong. That was our theme in the life of Samson. And here in Gideon, I believe it's to turn to flight the armies of the aliens, which is Midian, I believe. And if you believe something else, That's fine. I'm preaching, so that's what we're going to say tonight. But the Midianites were strangers. They were extranjeros, is what we would say. That's what it says in the Spanish. That means they were strangers. It's like the aliens that are coming across the border now. Those are aliens, illegal aliens, right? And so they're invading, right? Amen, they are. That's what's happening. And so, you know, I look at them and we hear all sorts of stuff, especially when, I was going to say Brother Trump, but it's not Pastor Trump either. President Trump. President Trump was in office. We heard so much about him, how he hated immigrants and all this other stuff. I was like, no. I said, the only thing that the problem is people coming undocumented. I said, your country has the same thing. I said, we had to fill out so many papers to come and immigrate into your country. We had to prove who we were, that we weren't terrorists or something like that. We had to prove that we could support ourselves to immigrate into your country. And you want to say something bad about our country that we, you know, we don't want the same thing. And at the same time, they were shipping Haitians back to Haiti on planes. They would group them up, put them back on planes and send them back to their country because they were coming illegally. And so here, you know, these aliens are just extranjeros, or just strangers that were coming into their land. Midian was pretty far away. It was on the east side of the Gulf of Aqaba, and they were pretty far away from where this is at, where this is taking place. And so that's why I think that, if you want to know. If you don't, that's fine. But we can learn something from the life of Gideon. And if you'll go back to Judges, if you want to know the word for judges in Spanish, it's jueces. Jueces. And so we see here, we can learn something from this time here. You know, in verses 1 and 2, if we just look at, I just want to look at these first 14 verses and just kind of look at what was going on here. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian, a hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. So we see here that there's always consequences for doing evil, for sinning. Always. You can't get past it. There's always consequences. You need to repent of it. And God can lessen those consequences, but if you refuse to repent of it, you refuse to get it right, there's always severe consequences. And here we see there's severe consequences. Why? Because they did evil. They were serving Baal and Ashtaroth, Asherah in Spanish. And so we see here that look at the evil that they did, and they were delivered for 7 years. There's always consequences for that. But it says here in verse number 2, it says Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. You know, I've explored a few caves, but I wouldn't want to live in one. I wouldn't. We drove by, an area in the Campo. When I was back home with my mom out in the country. And so we drove through this area, and I was telling Titus, I was like, hey, up on this bluff right here, there's a cave. I said, and I went in that cave. I said, it goes back about 50 yards. I said, it was fun. I got back far enough to where I saw some bobcat tracks. And then I decided, I think I'm just going to go ahead and leave out of this cave. And so, cause I figured it was a small cave. I figured he's going to have to come by us to get out of here. And, so I wouldn't want to live in a cave. I wouldn't want to live in dens. I mean, I've grew up coon hunting and everything. I know what a coon den is, and you know, you're not. I wouldn't want to live in one. Wouldn't want to live in a bear den. You know, and in strongholds, I mean, they had to make walled cities. They had to make, you know, these great big towers that we read about later on here in this specific story of Gideon. You know, to protect themselves. Because they were not under the protection of the Lord now.
Right, right.
I'm saying that to get at this point here. Where were they supposed to be living? The promised land.
Right.
I mean, the promised land. The land that they were promised. And so that's the land, you know, if we read it, it was supposed to flow with milk and honey. They were supposed to go inhabit cities and houses and all these different things that were already made for them. That was a pretty good inheritance. And so they chose, look, through their sin, this is what they chose. They chose to not live in their inheritance, in the place that God had provided for them. They chose to live in dens and caves and strongholds. And all those things, what they have in common is it's darkness. They chose to live in darkness because of their sin instead of living where God had promised them, what God had provided for them. We probably couldn't apply that to today, could we? You know, it wasn't their inheritance to live in caves, to live in darkness. They were supposed to live in the light, live in the promise that God had promised them. You know, the Bible says that God cannot lie. He's promised us certain things. They were supposed to live in the promised land. The promised land is a picture. It's not a picture of heaven. If you don't believe that, that's fine. Talk to your pastor about it. It's a picture of the victorious Christian life. We can all have it. And what's that life full of? It's full of spiritual fruits. It's full of serving the Lord, living for Him. We can live victorious. It says we are more than vencedores, more than conquerors. We are. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Why was God doing this to them? Because He loved them. Why does God punish me and my sin? Well, read Hebrews 12. He deals with us as sons, as children. He'll rebuke us. You know, he'll whoop us. I have the it memorized in Spanish. So azotar, he'll whip us, and I believe he'll even call us home to heaven. I honestly believe that. They chose their sin. They chose to worship Baal and Ashtaroth, which was wicked, just wickedness. Instead of choosing to serve God and living in the promise that they have. All these areas, everything that this has in common is darkness. But we know that if we're going to live in the promised land, the victorious Christian life, we can live victoriously. We'll have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. We can have those in our lives. We don't have those in darkness. Those don't grow like things in caves. They had a problem. They had a problem. You know, I guess we could ask ourselves, where are we living? You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, you see folks singing, you know, like, He Hideth My Soul. You know, they're singing it like, He Hideth My Soul in the cleft of a rock. Really? That's a beautiful song. He hideth my soul. When clothed in His brightness, transported I rise to meet Him in clouds of the sky. I choose that. The love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith over darkness. But why is it that sometimes I don't? And sometimes you don't. Sometimes we don't. Our lives, our Christian lives, our lives, you know, I have my life. I'm a Christian. I have life. I shouldn't have to put the adjective that I have Christian life. My life, because that's who I am now, should be full of those things and light and not darkness. I shouldn't have to run around and do stuff in secret. I shouldn't have to worry about getting caught. Catch me doing something good. I mean, you know? But the thing is, we have that opportunity, and they chose to do evil. Maybe that's what we should say when we sin. Oh, I sinned. No, I did evil. That sounds worse, doesn't it? Maybe we should name it worse. Name it something worse. But here we see that they chose to live in caves. They chose to live in dens. They chose to live in strongholds instead of living in the tierra prometida, in the promised land, in the promised land. And we see here in this state that they were in, this estado, or the state that they were in, they couldn't get ahead. They couldn't get ahead. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They couldn't get ahead no matter what they did. And if you're living in sin, if I'm living in sin, there's no way I'm going to get ahead. It's not going to happen. I made a whole bunch of money. You're going to lose it. I guarantee it. At some point in time, you'll lose it in death. Then you'll have to give it to somebody else. The thing is, you know, I'd rather be blessed by God. You know, and so all this, God did all this to them to get them to do something. And here in verse 6, and they called unto the Lord. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet. You know, here God wanted them to cry unto him, to call unto him. And that God wants the same thing from us in our lives. When we're in a sin, he wants us to repent and call upon him for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We know that verse. We have that verse memorized. But why does it take us so long to implement that verse? Why would we live in darkness so long? I don't have to go to some priest. I don't have to go to somebody. I don't have to go to Brother Tim. Hey, Brother Tim, can you talk to the Lord for me and ask the Lord to forgive me for this? No, I can go directly to him if I am a child of God and ask him to forgive me. It's between me and him. Now, there may be some public consequences to my sin, but the forgiveness part, the repentance part, between me and him at first. And that's what God wanted. He wanted this. And what does God do? You know, and we see here, they called upon him, but we don't see their full repentance here. But God, you know, we applied that to ourselves, our Christian lives today. So God sent them a prophet, a man. And so we see here, in verse number eight, and the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their lands. He's saying, this is how I blessed you. You were slaves. You were in bondage. I delivered you. Hey, the application for us today, we were slaves to sin, and God delivered us. God delivered us through salvation. You know, we had that. We were that. And so we need to remember that also in our lives. But here, God's telling them, he's telling them through his prophet, through his preacher, here's what I've done for you. In verse 10, he says, here's what I said to you. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites. Don't worship him. You don't need to fear him because he's nobody. He's not even a God. He's something somebody made up. And so here it says, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. You know, here God sent a man. He tells them, reminds them what God did for them. He reminds them what God said for them to watch out for and not do. And then he tells them what their sin was. Disobedience. You have not obeyed me. I told you not to fear the God of the Amorites, and now you're worshiping him. And so we see, he tells them their sin. God does the same thing today with pastors and preachers and his word, using his word to tell us, hey, this is a sin. Here's what the Bible says about this specific subject. This is a sin, what you're doing, what you're involved in. This is a sin. Your attitude here is a sin. But how do we receive that? We all receive correction correctly, right? We all love it when somebody corrects us. You know, in Chile, folks hate it. Hey, you know, God says that that's a sin. Somebody comes to you, I just don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong with my life. I've been calling out upon the Lord. You know, I just can't get any peace. This is going on. I can't get the, you have this sin in your life. It's obvious. Well, who are you to tell me that? If people don't receive it that well. You show them, hey, look at, well, what's the Bible say about this? And let them read it. Well, they don't receive it well. But here in the United States, people receive it really good. Every single time it happens. Well, I did. You asked my pastor. Not so much. God loves us enough to send someone to tell us. Do you not think that the person that God sends is not uncomfortable in telling you? I mean, I hate to, you know, I don't like confrontation. The only time I like confrontation is when I'm in the flesh. I'm being honest with you. That's the only time we like it. If we're in the spirit, we don't like it. We don't. But when we're in the flesh, chop off the heads. We're done with this. But when we're in the spirit, the person God sends to you to tell you what the problem is, they probably don't really want confrontation. So maybe we should receive it in that manner. Amen. God thought enough of me to send this person to tell me this specific thing. I probably ought to listen to it. That's how blessed we are. I mean, we have a God. He's got a lot of things going on. Does he not? That's a lot of stuff. And not for him, but if we think about it, he's got a lot of other folks are doing a lot more stuff, a lot more people that could be, he could love more, but he loves each and every one of us. And he does not want us to stay in our sin. Just like we don't want our children to stay in sin. God sent this man here. And so we see here, this man had a good message. If it's from God, it's always a good message. He tells him, you have not obeyed my voice. And then we see, now comes in Gideon. You know, I think when I was studying out Gideon and Samson, there's only five more verses written, about five. You count them up, you'll probably send me a message. No, it's more than that. But there's about five verses difference in between how much is written about Samson and how much is written about Gideon. I thought that was pretty cool. And Samson had more verses written about him than Gideon. And so, you know, that's just a little bit of trivia for you there. But here we see, here comes Gideon in verse number 11. Now we see Gideon. And here, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all these things befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. We see here, you know, an angel of the Lord came to this place under an oak in Ophrah. You know, just a little bit more trivia for you, if you want it. This oak here is probably a cork oak. And we actually have that specific type of tree. It's alcornoque, you know, acorn. The Spanish word is alcornoque for oak. In Chile, and so we can, there's one a couple blocks away from the church house. We were studying out the man from Judah that God sent to prophesy against the altar in Dan and Beersheba, or in Bethel, sorry. And he was sitting under alcornoque, an oak tree. And so I was telling the folks that, hey, this tree, there's one of these right over here. And it's not just an oak tree like here, like a pin oak or anything like that. It's like a cork oak that you can get cork off of to make cork boards. That's pretty neat. I think it's pretty neat. But a little more trivia for you. Our folks were pretty impressed with it. You need to come down and see the tree. You can actually order cork boards from Chile, but anyway. This angel of the Lord sitting under this tree in the country of Chile. No, in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee. Think about that message. Israel is under occupation. The extra inheritors, the strangers are there. The foreigners are there, taking up everything. He's hiding, threshing some wheat. And God comes and says, the Lord's with thee. I think that's pretty neat. And so we see here, that what does Gideon say? And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, the Lord said he was with thee. He didn't say he was with everybody. If the Lord be with thee. But he said, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord's with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And he said, if the Lord be with us, he says, you know, where's all the miracles? Why is this befallen us? And then he says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. That's a pretty significant statement. Because before, they were just calling on to the Lord because of their oppression and everything. Why is this happening? What's going on here? You know, it's kind of like Gideon knew verse number one. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Well, it's not kind of like that. He knew. And also, it's kind of almost the same thing that this preacher, this prophet had been saying. Now, was Gideon listening? I have no idea. Didn't make a whole lot of difference, but he knew. He knew what the problem was. And that's a significant thing for this specific time. He knew why the Midianites were there, because the Lord was judging them. The Lord did this. God did this. And why did God do that? Because we did evil. Because we have sinned. Specifically, what the pastor or the preacher said, what the man of God said here, you all have not obeyed my voice. He knew what the problem was. You know, in our lives, when we come to understand what the problem is, that's a significant day. In the day of our salvation, it was pretty big, wasn't it? What's the problem? I'm a sinner. I need to repent and receive the gospel. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I need to believe that everything for my salvation was done by Him on the cross. And it was finished when He said, it is finished. There's no more work for salvation. But I need to do exactly what Christ said. Repent. Believe the gospel. I need to repent and believe. And if you've ever done the Bible study with Pastor, we understand that that word believe is two parts. You can believe in fact and you can believe in trust. And put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, and verse number 12 also. In Him we trusted. Here, He knew what the problem was. The day of your salvation, you knew what the problem was. You knew the solution to the problem also. That's pretty amazing. That God can show us that, show us our needs. And every day since then, when you've had a sin or you've sinned or you've done evil, let's keep using that theme, I've done evil. God showed you your need of repentance. One of my space. Another time. Because of his mercy. Amen. I'm not God. Never could be. But every now and then I just throw me away. But God doesn't. And God's not done with them here either. God wants to use Gideon to deliver them. This mighty man of valor that was hidden threshing wheat. He knew what the problem was. You know, he knew what the problem was, that the people weren't living in the promised land. He knew what the problem was, that why they were being judged. Do you know what the problem is in your life? You know what the problem is in your life, that when your life isn't filled with the fruits of the Spirit and you're living in darkness? You know what the problem is in your life when you have a short fuse? It's what we say, a mecha cortada. It's in there, you know, you have a very short fuse and you blow up immediately, like David did when he was in his sin. Do you know what the problem is? If you do, that's good. Repent. Get it right. And praise the Lord that he allowed you to know what the problem was. Turn to Romans. chapter number 2. Says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's God's goodness that leads us to understand what the problem is and leads us to repentance. It's his goodness. I like that goodness. Because it's good, right? Amen. Gideon knew what God was doing. He knew it most likely because of hearing the word of God preached. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He knew it by the conditions that they were living in. He knew it by, hey, there's something's got to be wrong, because our fathers, and his father was an idol worshiper. His father had an idol to Baal. I mean, so his fathers, when he said his fathers, he meant, you know, like his grandfather, somebody else. But, you know, our fathers told us, you know, the word of God says that I can have peace in my life. Why don't I have peace? The word of God says I can have joy in my life. Why don't I have that joy? Well, we need to figure out what the problem is. And don't get mad when God sends somebody to tell you what the problem is. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Receive it. Receive it as God's goodness. And listen to it. Consider it. And if you're wrong, repent of it. Is what we need to do. In Chile, probably one of the most, how do you say it? The people that are looked down upon the most in Chile are pastors. Our pastors. And we're trying to change that. We're trying to change that. If God has given you a pastor, and he has, receive his counsel. Amen. With goodness, as the goodness of God. Honestly. I tell you, as everybody down there calls me pastor, I'm, you know, we have, I don't know, how many folks come in, 30, 35, something like that, but they call me pastor. It's difficult. It's difficult. You know, and it's difficult to counsel with folks and tell folks the problems and different stuff like this. It's difficult to do. But it sure is great when people receive it with goodness. When they receive it like it says in Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, hey, what does that verse say? Let's look at it again. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Children, teenagers, children, listen to your parents that in a way that it will cause them joy and bring them joy. Make their life easy, please. Because there's no worse thing than having rebellion in the home and having people want to do their own thing and just it does not make a whole lot of good family fellowship around the table. But receive it as the goodness of God, and in a way, in a manetta, in a way that they may be joyful about it. This is what God has for us. You know, here we see in the end of the part of Gideon here that the nation of Israel was delivered from the Midianites. The Midianites weren't really able to affect them a whole lot more after that. But God used this man. He used two men here, this prophet, which we don't know his name, and then he started to use Gideon here, and Gideon understood. Do you understand that if you understand what the problem is, God can use you? He can, and he wants to affect others with his gospel, which is our gospel also. Paul said, my gospel, you know. God wants to use us, and he wants us to be in his will so he can bless us the same way as here. And he'll do whatever he has to do to get us back into his will. Do you know what the problem is? If you want a title for the message, do you know what the problem is? If you do, do something about it. Get it right. Or praise him because he showed you what it was and you got it right. And he allowed you to, he allows us to repent. Allows it. Let's pray.